right, so let's get into the Word. Scripture reading today comes from the Epistle of James, first chapter, verses 1 through 17. This is the Word of the Lord. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not a man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat, then it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beauty appearances perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. May the Lord bless this reading of his Holy Scripture. So while I was looking at my notes, I noticed that Pastor Ward used the word testing. And I decided that if I was speaking about these, I would probably use words that were a little bit more forceful than the word testing. And I would say that these events, a lot of them, are indications of attacks on us and our nation. And there's where my curiosity started. You know, what is the difference between my perceptions and Pastor Ward's perception of these events? And this led me on the search to find out the answer to this question. How do we know if a trial that we are facing is a testing from God, or if it is an attack from Satan? So I searched for this, and first thing I looked for is the purpose. What is the purpose of the trials? And so to find the purpose that Father God would have for us, or if Satan would have for us in a trial, we need to look at the character of both of these people. And so I'm going to do a lot of scriptures today, but I'm going to do them kind of quickly. So it may not be where you can turn your Bible to them as fast as what I'm going to go through them. So you may want to end up writing them down. So looking at the character of Father God and the character of Satan, Jesus answers this question in one verse. And that verse is John 10:10. And John 10:10 says this, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Satan is a thief. A thief sneaks around and tries to get what he wants without being discovered. A thief only has his own agenda in mind. And what is the agenda of Satan? Well, Satan's agenda is to attack us, so that he can steal, kill, and destroy us. Satan uses trials to remove God from our lives. This is his ultimate goal. But Jesus says in that same verse, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Jesus, in contrast to Satan, came to give, not to take. God uses trials in our life to test our faith and to bring about spiritual growth, which results in a life of abundance, an abundance of love, joy, peace, and the rest of the fruits of the Spirit. So who tempts and who tests? Well, God does not tempt. James 1 verse 13 tells us that, and that is part of our scripture reading we had today. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Satan tempts people, and he even tempted Jesus. If you go to Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. So Satan is the one that does the tempting. Father God does not tempt, but he does allow tests to occur in a believer's life. And we can see these tests throughout the Bible. A couple of them, first Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 24, God tested Abraham. Remember that God asked Abraham to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. That was a test that he had set for Abraham. Another test, one that Jesus did, we find in John chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Jesus tempted Philip with the question, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? That's when they were by the Sea of Galilee, and there was a multitude that was coming before them. I can see Philip's eyes. Where can we go buy enough for them to eat? And, you know, seeing these multitudes to come. That was a test that Jesus gave to Philip. John 15 tells us that Jesus is the vine and that we are the branches. Branches receive life from the vine, but there are also times when the branches need a good pruning in order for there to be more fruit. Tests are one way to be pruned by Father God. As we go through these tests, the effects may feel very similar to an attack from Satan. So how do we know when a trial is a test from God or when it is an attack by Satan? I found in my search three questions that can be used to determine the differences between these. So the first question I ask is this: where is this test leading me? Can you determine if a trial is a test from God or a temptation from, you can determine if a trial is a test from God or a temptation from Satan by the pull it is having on you. So I'm going to go back to James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. If you are being tempted to indulge in sinful, unbiblical behavior, this is Satan trying to attack you. Attacks from Satan will pull you into leaving Father God and relying on your own methods to remedy your situation. A temptation will lead a believer to a place of loneliness, despair, and ultimately will leave you with all the responsibilities in your own hands. Father God, though, uses tests to strengthen our faith. His goal is to allow questions, feelings, and thoughts that will lead us to our ultimate trust in Him. Going back to our scripture reading for today, James 1, verses 2 through 5, says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to you liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. If you are being encouraged to remain faithful to God through a test in your life, that will result in more praise, glory, and honor given to Jesus Christ. This is a test from the Lord. So question number two, does the trial make me feel conviction or condemnation? When Satan is successful in getting us to fall into temptation and sin, he then works to make us feel condemned. He not only wants you to sin, but he also wants you to feel that God now hates you because of your sin. He wants you to feel like you have failed God, the ministry in which you are to serve, and the people you are to serve. But remember that this is only one of his wiles. Such thoughts are lies straight out of the mouth of Satan. The only person condemned is the one who remains lost in his sins. Condemnation is when you are sentenced to death for your wrongs. If you believe in Jesus, you will never be condemned for your sin ever again. Romans 8:1 tells us, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Amen. Praise God for that. Father God, he loves you no matter what you do. 1 John 4, verse 8 says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Father God's love is unconditional because his love is based on who he is. Love is his nature and it's his character. Therefore, it is impossible for his love to be based on our choices and our actions. However, we must not mistake God's unconditional love for a license to sin. God will not ignore the sins, but he will convict us of our sin because he loves us and wants us to receive the grace offered through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Conviction is when the Holy Spirit points out a sin in your life so that you will be motivated to turn back to God in repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 10 says, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death." And that is what we get from Satan. My third question, is this trial bringing order into my life or is it creating chaos? Sometimes we need something to motivate us so we can move from where we are to where God wants us to be. At times, God calls us to things that require giving up or letting go of something that is important to us. That can be difficult, and no one likes to experience pressures and troubles. But when we go through a trial, it often serves as a means to overcome obstacles that prevent us from growing. Remember that word overcome from last week. That's the word that the Bible uses for victory. So we would have victory. As we struggle through doubts, searching for answers through God's word, we grow in faith and we learn new truths about who God is. When a problem becomes serious enough that we can no longer ignore it, God will use it to highlight the messy areas of our lives and then guide us back into order. The Corinthian church is a good example of God using a trial to bring order. Paul tells us the church was experiencing problems because they did not know how to properly use their spiritual gifts of prophecy and tongues. Paul then provides explanation of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 14. And then in verse 33, Paul writes, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." When a trial is being used for Satan's purposes, order falls by the wayside and chaos develops. James 3, verses 14 through 16 says, "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." So we can experience trials from Father God and from Satan. Father God will always use trials to test us and to draw us into a deeper, more intimate relationship with him. Satan's trials will, if we fail to avoid them, will lead us into sin, condemnation, and chaos. Satan wants nothing more than to seal our joy and destroy our relationship with Father God. But do not fear, because God is always in control. He can use the trials that Satan brings in our lives to cause us to seek him and to know him more. If we in times of temptation look to Father God for guidance, he will use the trials from Satan for our good and for his glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you knowing that there will be times of trials in our lives, testings from you and attacks from Satan. We pray for your discernment and guidance during these times. May the difficulties we face grow us in our faith and bring us into a closer relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And the Lord's people said, amen. Go in peace, and with joy let us serve the Lord.